All right. Well, this is everyone. So, actually, hold on. I need a quiet keyboard. We've got that. Sorry, I thought it was all ready.
Callum today, Magic Man.
Yeah, we miss him too, Magic Man.
Yep.
Here we go.
He wimped out.
But one more sip of tea. That's the good stuff. Okay. I'll get the show started. Here we go. Hi, everyone. I'm Jeff Gamet, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, who is lounging on a beach, we presume, or in the Witness Protection Program. We actually are assuming that's the case. And he's just been covering by saying he's busy with his business. So we're going to go along with this charade to protect his life and his family by saying, Ewan, we're so proud of you, and we're so excited for how much work you have going on with your business. Okay, welcome to the American Tech Network with our special guest from Europe. Patrice, how are you doing?
Doing good. Yeah, been a nice day. It's really nice outside. Went on a walk. I was thinking, since yesterday was a public holiday and half of my team is off today, I would be able to like leave work early. Well, I finished about 5 minutes ago. So
it's nice. Nice. Nice.
Yeah, that's always funny how that goes. But I'm good. Like weekend, Friday.
That's right. It's Friday. I always enjoy getting up Friday morning and rushing to make sure that my computer will actually wake up. It usually does. And to get my team made before we start the show. So this is how I start my Fridays, and it's great.
And then you make a cup of tea for your computer, so it's fully awake?
Right. And so between the cup for me and the cup for the computer, we are firing on all thrusters. Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm good, Jeff. I appreciate you tolerating my little experiment here, but everything is working out pretty well.
That's great. And, you know, I've got an open mind, so it's no big deal for me to tolerate your experiments.
Well, we probably should let folks know that what they're seeing and what they're hearing is a bit different. But we decided to run this almost as an experiment. I couldn't be in my studio today because of some obligations. So under the heading of we can work anywhere now, we can also podcast anywhere now. Mm-hmm. So I am on a new M1 Mac using a very low bandwidth connection. So Zoom is holding up as well. Unfortunately, the room I'm in is a little large. So we tried the internal mic with the MacBook Air and determined that using the AirPods is a better option. So it's not optimal, but it is certainly usable. And so if I look or sound different, that's why.
Chuck, I was going to tell everyone that we had been doing some AI experiments and built an animatronic that looks like you. And so this was Auto Chuck while actual Chuck was out golfing. Or Chuckbot.
Chuckbot. Yeah. Chuckbot. Well, it could be. It could be. You don't know, because if I am Chuckbot, I would not admit to being Chuckbot. So now everyone
that's exactly how we programmed you.
Exactly.
I mean, right. Of course you wouldn't.
Exactly.
And we have a short title.
Off the rails already, right away, boy.
Yeah, well, you know, this is how we roll. Dave, how are you doing?
Doing good. I'm actually enjoying my wellness day off. My company gave the entire company off today because they want us to be well, very well. So I'm doing very well, and I'm calm and glad to be here, and And yeah, that's why I'm wearing my festive shirt, because it's it's Friday too.
That's awesome.
I was about great. Yeah, I was about to comment on that awesome shirt. Like, it looks very very relaxed and Hawaiian. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and the summer's coming.
And if you shine a black light on it, it just goes absolutely nuts.
It's like a Jason Pollock painting.
Yeah. Thanks. Glad to, great to be here.
Awesome. And for those of you in the EU that are, well, and in the UK that didn't get why Chuck and I both kind of lit up when Dave said that his company was giving everyone a wellness day. Here's the deal. In the US, you don't get days off. That's it. You just don't get days off.
Yeah. I like that.
So when your company says everyone gets a day off with pay, and this isn't coming out of your personal time off allotment, that's a really big thing.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, the difference is here people expect you to take the day off. Even the days off that you get, they expect you to take them. In the US, they give them to you, then they expect them for you not to take them. So
yeah.
It's kind of
a lot of wasted vacation days happens to a lot of employees in the United States.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Sad, but true. Yeah.
And that is This Week in Business.
It is.
On the American Tech Network. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, we might as well hop into some stories. And
I was just thinking, sorry. I was just thinking we should be part of PBS. I mean, we're doing like a very important service here. Like, we're educating Europeans about American culture. Like, we should get some money for that.
We really should. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? When Ewan's back, let's tell him.
Exactly.
Well, he'll triple our pay.
Patrice, you're the European here. Get right on that. You talk to your people and tell them to send us money.
Yeah, I'll get on that. I have some contacts, so
there you go.
Able to do that.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's start with. I'm going to channel Ewan for just a moment and say, wow, there really isn't any news, Apple news this week, but we'll see what we can come up with. And then promptly come up with several Apple News stories. So let's start with the rumor that popped up this week, which is that next week on May 18th, Apple is going to introduce new AirPods and is going to introduce a higher fidelity music tier. And I mean, that's it. That's the story. What do you think?
May 18th, that's Tuesday.
May 18th, That is Tuesday.
So Apple usually frequently release things on Tuesdays when they don't do an event. So, you know, that would fit. You know, the AirPods are the next version of the AirPods are coming at some point. And the high fidelity thing has been rumored for a long time. And it just sort of makes sense as we all get more bandwidth. And that would be one more way that Apple could up its game against Spotify and Tidal and all the others. So, you know, whether it's the 18th or not, I mean, these seem to be good, solid products that we can expect to see sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, there was someone on Twitter who said that I think the 19th or the 20th is the release for the embargoed like reviews. So that would fit. Like, do the like new products first. Like, have maybe a day. I think it's the 20th. So have a day or two, basically for the new products, and then have the embargoes drop for the Macs and so on. So you have like a full week of news coverage.
Now I love just this whole idea. I mean, the timing and everything just sounds perfect. And this all sounds like a great lead-in to WWDC in June. And at the same time, I'm looking at this thinking, I don't even know if I give it a 50-50 shot. And that's because it's coming from someone, this most recent version of this is coming from someone who doesn't have a track record with insider information from Apple. But I can't throw in Ming-Chi Ko saying, no, this is all third quarter stuff, because he has a horrible track record too. But people think he has an awesome track record. So anyhow, I guess what I'm saying is I don't put much value in what Ming-Chi Ko says, nor do I put much value right now in what, what's his name? Luke Miani is saying, because he doesn't have a track record. So
I say who?
Right. Right. Yeah.
John Prosser, maybe.
Yeah, he does. I mean, it makes total sense. I if I had to guess, I would say it's not a higher tier audio quality. It's more spatial audio. Because that seems to be Apple's thing. They're adding spatial audio left and right and center into all devices and so on. And it would absolutely make sense for music.
That would make sense. And that would fit in nicely with brand new AirPods. Now, granted, mm-hmm. the current AirPods Pro give us, AirPods Pros? What's the plural for AirPods? AirPods's?
AirPods Pros. I don't know.
AirPods Pros.
AirPods Pro.
AirPods Pro.
Okay. So
AirPods Pros. Let's add more S's.
God. I need more tea. Anyhow,
yeah.
the new AirPods Pro plural would be a great fit to go along with a new music option, because spatial audio. So that would mean that all the pro level AirPod products there, that's a nice way for me to work around the plural, would all support spatial audio. And
they already do. The AirPods Pro already have spatial audio.
Exactly. So all versions of the pro AirPod product line would support this. And yeah, I mean, I love this rumor, and I love the timing, and I love the products that are part of it, and it all just fits. And yet I'm not going to believe it at all until the product announcements drop.
The announcements. Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see how they bundle this. Is it going to be, and according to the article here, it says it could be the same cost as a individual plan. Are they going to include it with me? I'm the Apple One Premier bundle subscriber. Will I get that, or do I have to pay extra for it? So I'd be curious to see where that goes. The AirPods Pro, it's something that, I think it was due. I mean, these are a couple years old now, and we need to get some newer technology with it. And I'm sure there's going to be some great technology with the new ones. I don't know if I would necessarily upgrade them at this point, because we have them. But
I think the AirPods Pro are only a year old, right?
Is it a year? Okay, I'm thinking the other.
It
was a really close to the pandemic year.
It was a long year.
It was a long year. Yeah, it feels like 15. That's true.
It was long. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the rumor was more that the standard AirPods would get an upgrade.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like third generation. I have. Yeah.
Those are definitely due for a refresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just thinking about spatial audio, though. How is that going to sound? Are the audiophile people going to go crazy? Are the musicians going to go crazy about how Apple is changing the way their music sounds? I forget whether you like it or not, but there are a number of sound enhancing apps out there, and the purists always jump up and say, that's not the way, that Bob Dylan is supposed to sound. And so, even if you like it, that's not the way that they think it should sound. Mm. So I don't know. That one I'm not quite sure about.
I mean, Bob Dylan, I would guess, would not be in the list because, well, unless they have audio that they could master to spatial audio. I mean, this has been around for a long time. I mean, there's I think in the classical space especially, Dolby was being used quite a bit because you had a big orchestra with a lot of instruments and you wanted to hear them individually and have them spatially arranged in your if you had a
set right, up as if you were at a concert.
Exactly. So I think for that it is good. Is it going to be for every song, for everything? I don't think so. I mean, there will be a couple artists that use it as a gimmick and do something crazy with it. But I can definitely see it for like live concerts and stuff like that, or yeah, like bigger ensembles.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mulver in the chat room brought up something that I'd honestly forgotten about, and that's AirPods with health sensors. That's something that's been talked about, I think, from, I believe it was blood pressure monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not something we haven't heard about for a long time. That would be an interesting thing to have happen.
That would be a good place to add in a body temperature sensor.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Magic Man is saying, how can they tell unless they've been in a room with Bob Dylan playing acoustic and singing live with no speakers? Yeah, okay.
There is that.
There's that, yes, okay.
Thank you for supporting my position, Magic Man, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure.
Of course, Bob Dylan is not in a position to get upset if spatial audio techniques were applied to his recordings. He no mm-hmm. longer owns any of his music. So that's out that's of his true. Control.
Sold it. Point.
Yeah. All right. So here's what I was visualizing with spatial audio for current music. Instead of turning it into this thing where it feels like you're suddenly sitting in the middle of the band and they're playing all around you, have it something where it's more like when you're listening to music in your living room, where you have your nice speakers and they're set up stereo. And as you move around the room, it changes what you're hearing. So mm-hmm. it'd be like recreating listening to music in your living room.
Yeah, which I mean is what it has been so far. Like, I mean, if you watched a movie, it was kind of like if the movie was in like the action was in front of you, and if you moved your head, it changed. It moved with it. So I said it definitely sounds like something Apple would do. It also sounds like something Apple would do because it is different than everybody else. Like if they just added high quality audio, then everybody would be like, oh yeah, okay. Spotify has done it already and the others have had it for years. This is just catching up. But spatial audio is something that Apple can do that nobody else can.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you guys, have you tested out Spotify and Tidal, and can you really tell a difference? Is your hearing or your ears good enough, or is your equipment good enough, or all of the above?
Do you care enough?
Do you care, right?
Well, that's
because I don't.
Yeah, but in a blind test, how many people, you know, I think that's an interesting question, Patrice. You know, can you tell the difference? And if you can, do you care? Because if you can't, you definitely don't care.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I know some people that are into that and they say they can hear a difference and I believe them. There are for sure people that can't tell the difference. I mean, I've worked with some audio engineers that could tell like crazy differences between like one mix and the other. And I'm like, I don't hear that. So there are probably people that can hear the difference, but as I said, do you care? I think that's the starting point. If you don't care, like probably most people, then it does not make a difference.
Most people don't care.
No.
Now, where I can hear the difference, it's not whether or not something is, you know, a jillion bits or 16 bits or whatever. It's, well, I mean, if you get low enough, then yeah, you can really tell because you get... I'm not going to turn it into the audio show, but where I do end up hearing the difference is when a recording is remastered correctly for the platform where it's going to be distributed, and I mean, this goes all the way back to physical media. So I remember people all, you know, have always been saying that that an LP is better audio quality than a CD. Well, if you take the LP mix and just put it on a CD, yeah, it's not going to sound as good on a CD. But if you remaster that for the CD, then you can get substantially better audio quality compared to the LP. And it's the same thing with the digital music platforms. When I hear music that's been remastered for Apple Music, it sounds much better. When I hear music that's remastered specifically for Tidal, you can hear the difference. And of course, Tidal tells you, well, you know, we have the higher bit rate, and so that's all that makes it better. Well, no, it's the remastering. That's doing it right. That's what made it different.
I can take a low quality, like badly mastered audio track and blow it the bitrate up. It's not going to make it any better.
No.
I mean, a lot of people, me probably included, don't care. Like, I mean, look at everybody who's like using $5 cheap speaker in their bathroom or their car or whatever. Audio quality is clearly not the driving factor there.
Right.
So,
that's why I just listen to all my music on my 8-track player. So,
well, you know, to be fair, an 8-track player does sound a lot better than a cassette player.
It does.
You just have to put up with the break halfway through a song.
Yeah, and the click track.
Yeah. I mean, so I hear.
Just the one thing though about it. I hear what you're saying, and I pretty much agree with it. But if I sit down and listen to if somebody plays something on, I'm going to go with speakers as opposed to the quality. If somebody says you can listen to it on this speaker or that speaker, and one is a $100 speaker and the other is a $5 speaker, I'm going to pick the $100 every time. Because I perceive that. And so now my expectations are that it will sound that good. So I think that if I walk out the front door right now and somebody's playing a song I know on a radio across the street, well, I'm going to enjoy the song, even though it sounds tinny and it's not the full experience. Yeah. But that's not going to be my choice. That's a hap stance. If I'm going to really sit down and listen to music I want to listen to, then I'm going to pay a little more attention to the quality.
But that's you. I mean, I was just thinking, like, for my family, like they don't care. Like, they're driving around the car, the windows are open. Like, they enjoy the songs from a $5 speaker. It's like the song is enjoyable. That's like the experience for them. It does not matter whether it costs $5 or $500. Mm-hmm. Like, they would not spend $500 or even $100 on a speaker. Sure. Because that's not important in that case. Like, the enjoyment is the same. So it's like not worth the money. And people are different that way.
Yeah. And ultimately, it doesn't matter. If they're getting the experience that makes them happy with a $5 speaker, then they're experiencing the music in a perfectly acceptable way. When you have someone who considers himself a very high-end audiophile, just like flipping out, like, oh, you're ruining the music. Well, they're ruining the music for you as the audiophile, but for them, they're getting the experience they want. It's perfectly fine. Yeah. And I'm saying this as someone who just does ridiculously stupid things to listen to music the way I want to. And I don't consider myself a true audiophile. Like, I'll stream music through the HomePod when I want to have music while I'm just working. But if I'm listening to music for the sake of actually listening to the music, then it's going to go through my Polk sound system instead. And If I want to make sure that I'm getting the audio quality that I want, it's not going to be streaming music. It's either going to be music I've ripped myself, or believe it or not, I have a CD player connected to my soundbar.
Yeah. That's why I don't subscribe to the whole discussion of like medium A is better than medium B, because it all depends on what you, how you enjoy it and what you enjoy. And everybody can enjoy it however they want. And if someone enjoys vinyl, go ahead, get everything on vinyl. Like, I mean, I'm not going to do it, but if you enjoy it, you're getting the enjoyment out of it, perfectly fine. If Chuck wants to have it on his A-track player and he enjoys it that way, totally fine. Like, I mean, that is you are enjoying it. It is your pleasure. Like, I have no say in that whatsoever.
But I have it on my reel-to-reel player too. I have one of those too.
Perfect. See, that's just awesome. Yeah. All right. So in the chat room, Bob Beach is saying AirPod Max are great, and
I've heard.
And I'm sure they are. I have never tried them. I mean, they came $600. Out during the pandemic, and and so I haven't gone into an Apple store to try them out. Magic Man is saying that. He exchanged a wall of vinyl records for a cupboard of CDs and now a hard drive for his music collection. And it sounds just as good to him. And there you go.
Yeah. He enjoys it in the format that he has it in right now. That's all that counts.
Yeah. Yep. That's all that counts. Yeah. I don't think people expected they were showing up for the audiophile show today, but here we are.
Speaking audio.
Yeah. All right. Well, how about if we move on and talk about this this exploit that lets someone take advantage of Apple's Find My network to inject basically just text. Yeah. And that's it. That's what it does.
Very interesting. I mean, it was kind of clear that the second those are on the market, like hackers, and I mean hackers in the physical sense, physical hackers would go in and tinker with them and figure out what you can do with them and how you can use the like reprogram the thing and use it for whatever they want. And I've seen some really cool stuff there. So this was kind of expected. What I didn't expect is that Apple would make it so easy to send basically arbitrary messages.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird.
My guess is that they didn't realize until now that this was a possibility. And to be clear, it doesn't look, at least right now, like someone could use this as a way to inject malicious code into your iPhone or iPad or Mac, but it's a way that you can actually send essentially text messages without anyone's permission by piggybacking on their Find My signal. So the practical application I see for this right now is if we decide to go back to Cold War spy movies and use this as a way for spies to send messages across the coffee shop to each other.
I think that would be possible. I mean, based on the article, it's kind of, I mean, as you said, it's not exploiting anything. It's just changing the string that is sent. Like usually you would, the AirTag would send the location and over an encrypted network to your device basically, or to whoever needs that to hear that. And in this case, they just exchange that location string with just some other text. And then someone else on the other end can read it. So yeah, you can definitely use that for like covert communication. I mean, I'm not, let's put it that way, I'm not no expert in that area. But I would guess that there would be still a problem with it because, I mean, there's kind of a, like the sender or the recipient are kind of known. Like, you know, they use radio because like nobody knows who's listening. This would be different here, so I don't know whether that's any use whatsoever. But it, I don't know, potentially could. It's at least a fun thing for us to do, like sending covert messages over AirTags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Bob Beach is questioning how relevant or dangerous is this. And well, it's relevant in the fact that it exposes a potential security flaw in the Find My platform. How dangerous is it? Well, today, it's not.
No.
But it doesn't mean it couldn't be.
Yeah. The interesting thing would be, I mean, it's basically the interesting part is the receiver side. So the Mac or the iPhone or whoever is receiving that data. Because if you could send malicious code back through that network and then hijack the machine that's receiving it through an exploit there, mm-hmm. that's a different story.
And that's not something we've seen yet.
We haven't seen it yet, but it's definitely possible. I mean, like any other message, like, I mean, iMessage is like a big gateway for stuff like that because like anybody can send a message.
Mm-hmm. All right. So how long before someone releases an app so that you and your friends can message each other over Find My just because you can do it?
Yeah, it's interesting. It would be interesting. But the cool thing is, it does not use any data network, like any. Well, I shouldn't say any. It uses it. I think it piggybacks on the device that connects to that AirTag that's close by.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I believe that's how it works too.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Patrice. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, that's kind of interesting. It's basically, I mean, the charge would, I'm charging quotes, like the data would be charged to the phone that's close by.
Yeah. So the way I understand it, you have a person, but we use me as the example. I'm in a coffee shop with my iPhone and my AirTag. And then the three of you show up. And since you are now in range of my AirTag, you can now all carry on a conversation. It would just be broadcast to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But you could all carry on a conversation through the chat app that Patrice writes. And we'll call it Find My Chat. And I would be none the wiser. Because I would be sitting there just enjoying my tea while the three of you are having your conversation, and my AirTag would essentially be the nexus point.
Gateway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The gateway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of.
So first of all, I think Patrice's chat app should be named Tag Chat. But beyond that, I'm not sure I can get terribly excited over this. No. Because I, Bob Beach in the chat room said, if it becomes a major issue, Apple will fix it. And I think that's true. I think Apple has the potential to fix it regardless, just so it can't become a major issue.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff, when you started this out, you said, you know, it was just a matter of time before this happened. And right now, I think we're finding out that no system is unhackable. I mean, every system can be gotten into or manipulated to do something that it was not necessarily designed for. Now, how sensitive that is, how destructive that is, all those are you know, depend on the issue and depend on the person who's attacking that system or trying to manipulate that system. But again, for the main purpose of the AirTags, I don't see this. Let's put it this way: it's not a detriment to me using them. I don't know how you all feel, but it won't stop me from using them because, oh my God, somebody might be using my tag to chat. No, sorry.
Like Bob Beach said in the chat, he said, I won't be losing any sleep over this, and I'm the same. I wouldn't.
Yeah. And from my understanding, it's not even that this works out of the box. You kind of have to hack the AirTag and install new software on it or something. It's not a simple thing that you can just walk past someone and use your AirTags. Same for the hardware, like the hardware access, the people that basically flashed the AirTag and installed, I think it might have been Raspberry Pi or something on it.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter, a couple of people. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, sure, you can do that.
Raspbian running on an AirTag. Okay, yeah. That's completely ridiculous and ridiculously cool at the same time.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's the type of community. Like, I mean, it's the same type of people that, I don't know, hack their Roombas and install custom software on it or install attachments to it or whatever. Like, it's the same approach. Like, taking hardware that's out there and repurposing it for something else.
Oh, just like the guy who 3D printed a card and disassembled the AirTag and was using a soldering gun, if you guys saw that, but soldered the two wires onto the board, put it into the card, and it fits perfectly in his wallet. He shows the wallet on the camera and it was this big, and now it's this big. And more power to him, but he did admit that it took him a long time to get that in the way he wanted it.
Yeah, I think he trashed a couple AirTags in the process.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. I guess $25. What the heck?
Yeah.
But Müller is asking, what's the value of it? The value is having fun. It's a hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because you can. There's like,
plenty of people make modifications, Macs and everything else.
Yeah.
Right.
Turn Macs into aquariums.
Yeah. Right. I mean, this is why I'm running a Raspberry Pi as a Plex server. Just simply because I could. And then it turned out to work really well. So I just kept it. I just could.
The value is in the enjoyment and in learning, like learning and sharing.
Exactly.
And
that's how I learn.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of, I mean, a lot of schools do that. Like they will find something on the web where, like, I don't know, was it the Wi-Fi antennas built out of, like
Pringles cans
or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are things that then become teaching materials, because now you can, like, it's very easy for someone to build that, and you can teach children how to do that, and teach them about electronics or whatever. So that was probably someone's fun project at some point who said, like, I wonder whether I could hack that, and they figured it out.
Right. And then they just kept moving their Pringles cans farther and farther apart to see how far they could throw their wireless signal. And it turns out a really long way.
Yeah, exactly. So as I said, it's the same. It's the hacking. As I said, that's where the original hacking comes from. Like, it's the hacking mindset, hacking physical objects to do something they were not intended for.
I really want to install Plex on my AirTag so I can watch my movies on my AirTag.
There you go.
I mean, you might be able to watch, I don't know, like a 64p video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the processing power is not good enough for that.
No.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that the storage space is going to be pretty limited. So it's not going to be a long movie.
You have a little AirTag and then you have like a zoo of other devices attached to it.
Yeah, or you just have one movie on it, and that would be Bambi versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
It could probably handle that. Yeah.
It could. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the right length.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So, Apple, I think, has a new record for the shortest employment time for a higher profile hire, and that would be what, just a few hours?
A couple of days. It was a couple of days.
Oh, okay. Well, still. It's really short, and I bet someone in Apple's HR has gotten a stern talking to as well. So the backstory on this is that Apple had hired what was his name, Antonio Garcia Martinez, and he was hired to be part of the Apple News advertising team. team, and he came from Facebook at, well, or he was formerly from Facebook, and he was an executive level employee there. And it turns out that that he wrote a book that is very, very misogynistic, like painfully misogynistic. Mm-hmm. And somehow either Apple didn't know about this or didn't think it was an issue until Apple employees started flipping their lids over this. And it became such a big thing that that Apple decided that they really didn't need him on their team after all. And Apple employees were so glad when he was gone that they were actually talking about it on Twitter, which they probably shouldn't have been doing based on how Apple feels about their employees talking about work on social media. Nonetheless, it was a big thing. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I saw this unfold on Twitter. I follow a couple women from Apple especially. And yeah, I was happy that this was happening. I mean, it's hard to tell like what was going on in the like background, but the book is clearly like the book and the person are clearly a problem. Like, I mean, there were some comments like he described women in the Bay Area as soft and weak and with self-regarding entitlement feminism. Stuff like that.
Or that's like, one of the nicer things.
That's one of the nicer things in his book. Like, it's peppered with a lot of like weird things, and he seems to stand behind it. It's not something where he's raised like saying, "Oh, I apologize. Like this was a long time ago, or whatever." No, like he stands behind that. And so, yeah, I don't know how he got hired. I mean, coming from Facebook should be a red flag. Doesn't mean that there aren't good people at Facebook, but it's already a red flag if you come from that kind of culture, especially as an exec. Like,
yeah. He also didn't. He worked from 2011 to 2013, so it was a long time ago. He worked for Facebook, so
yeah. So, as I said, it's especially for higher level. I would have expected a little bit more research on behalf of the HR, mm-hmm. or on behalf of whoever hired him. Except a lot of women were very, very upset about that hire and were very vocal also on Twitter and also publicly about it. And yeah, Apple was, I would say, unusual quick to review it and then decide, okay, no, we're gonna let him go right away. Like I saw on Twitter basically his Slack account got disabled like pretty quickly, and then there was a team meeting with his team that he had just started at, where they basically told them, well, he's gone. So that was a quick turnaround for Apple.
It was quick and decisive. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
Yeah, the best decision based on what we know right now probably would have been to not hire him in the first place. Yes. The next best decision was to let him go as quickly as they did. I mean, even if he had made a massive change in his life and was no longer the person that wrote that mm-hmm. highly misogynistic book, it was still going to be a problem having him working at the company, because there were so many people that were so upset about his misogynistic viewpoints. No one was going to be able to work effectively with him.
Hmm. Yeah, or at least, I mean, you have to be very proactive about that then and say, okay, like talk to people about it, make sure that everybody like understands what's going on. Like maybe there are good reasons to hire a person, but then like people can change and that's fine. Like I think we all have changed over the last 10 years, hopefully. But yeah, it didn't sound like that happened.
Right. Yeah. In this case, it sounds like he's still the same person that wrote that book.
Yeah. I don't even know that. Like, I just think like on Apple's side, nothing happened. Like there was no proactiveness, no research whatsoever. So as I said, something I hope they do an internal review to figure out what happened.
Yeah, like
how I hope so too.
How that could even happen.
So yeah. Patrice, I there's one thing you said there that because one thing that bothers me about this, my concern is completely disqualified by the fact that he stood behind the book. The thing that bothers me about this is the whole freedom of speech thing, but more importantly, the time factor. You just said hopefully we've all changed over the last 10 years, and I agree with that. I don't think there's any question. I think if you're a thinking human being, you have to have changed in the last 10 years. So to tar and feather someone for something that they did when they were a bit younger and definitely much more stupid, not quite cool. If they continue to defend that and say, yeah, these are still my viewpoints, then that's another matter. Then you have to say it. You're right. I mean, I think somebody dropped the ball on this. They missed this. The hire should never have been made. And it was a bad hire. And the best way to cure a bad hire is to do a quick fire. So that's what they did. And I applaud Apple for doing it. I'm not ready to, you know, beat on them too much. I do think that it's going to cause their hiring practices, especially for executives, to, you know, to maybe undergo a review of its own. We all did things that, you know, as 10, 15, 20 years ago, that by today's standards would not be acceptable. I just heard something on a podcast that said, you know, that what I could say 3 years ago, I can't say now, nor would you want to.
Yeah, it's not about not being able to say it. It's not that you shouldn't want to. Like, it's not something that you would even consider being okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I almost think, I don't want to say it's a non-story because it obviously had a big impact on a lot of people. And, you know,
a lot of people were very upset.
Yeah. And to Apple's credit, they said, okay, this is the remedy. And they didn't say we're going to do, you know, some kind of program or whatever. It's just like, okay, you know, we have a fire, let's put it out. And they did.
So my takeaway from this is, hey, Apple's hiring.
Yeah, okay.
You know, if you need a job working with their ads team for Apple News, yeah, they've got a space now.
You applying, Jeff?
Probably not just one.
No, I'd have to move to California, to Cupertino, I'm sure. And
probably, yeah.
You know, the fact that I would have to move to California to work for Apple has always been the thing that has deterred me from ever applying for any job with Apple. I am very happy in Boulder.
Yeah. Well, they don't have mountain lions in that part of California, I don't think.
Not down in Cupertino.
Yeah, you would miss the mountain lions. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe some pet mountain lions here and there. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, the pets, sure. But, you know, those
like the pet tiger in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to America. Yeah. But hey, you know, the bears are out and about. So, I'm sure that I'll have some new bear photos for everyone before too long. And of course the trash pandas are just always here.
I'm just envisioning Guardians of the Galaxy in Boulder.
Yeah. You know, that whole scene in Guardians of the Galaxy, being in Colorado, it being in Boulder and seeing the movie here, like everyone lost it because just that whole scene, it has a special meaning for us here. Yeah. Trash pandas are, yeah. And they get big. Really big.
They have guns.
Okay, I'll bite. What's a trash panda? I don't know.
A raccoon.
A raccoon? Okay. I thought I suspected, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, okay. A raccoon. And
we call them trash panda.
And we get some really, really big raccoons around here.
And they have guns.
And well, yeah. Guns. I mean, yeah. And they have guns, and it's it's like taking your life in your hands just to go out and throw the trash in the dumpster. Seriously, there have been times where I've gone to put a bag of trash in the dumpster, and there'll be this raccoon, like a really big raccoon, just sitting in the dumpster looking at me like, I hate you with every fiber of my being, and I am going to cut you down. And the scary thing is, I believe the panda probably could.
I was kind of thinking you were like, the panda threw the bag out of the trash can again.
Well, I mean, they're not stupid, so they're going to open up the trash bag and see what I was dumb enough to throw away that they can eat.
Guido the killer trash panda.
Guido the killer trash panda.
Guido.
Yep.
Yeah.
So all the shows on the British Wildlife Network are sponsored by TSO hosts, and. Bless their hearts for being here for us, because seriously, TSO host is absolutely awesome, because they've made it possible for us to be here every single week. They're giving us the bandwidth we need so that we can stream this high quality content to you, and they're giving us the server space so that you can go back and watch or listen to these shows over and over, because seriously, why wouldn't you? I mean, this is gold, just straight up gold that we're giving you. And then, of course, for the people that can't watch or listen live, all that content is there, so you can get caught up and know whatever the latest Apple or tech or photography news is. And of course, learn about the wildlife exploits in Boulder, Colorado. So if you need to have some hosting, if you need to get a domain name, TSO Host is happy to help you out. They'll give you a discount because you're a British Tech Network fan. And what they'd love from us is to go hit our favorite social media networks and give them a shout out and give them some online love. Let them know that you appreciate that they are... they are supporting the British Tech Network, and actually that's a really, really important thing to do, because this is really how they know that that we appreciate them and that you know about them. So give them some love on social media. Also, Iman Max sponsors us, and they're absolutely awesome, because they will fix all of your Apple gear without actually throwing away parts that don't need to be thrown away. So Cal, who unfortunately can't be with us today, and I have a theory that the reason Cal hasn't been able to join us the past couple weeks is because he's hanging out on Ewan's yacht. And why would he bother to go back to his little office space to record a show when he can be sitting out on the deck of that yacht with the entire serving staff taking care of his every need? I mean, I'm picturing him right now just sitting in one of the deck lounge chairs, just waving an empty glass, not even saying anything, just waving his empty glass, and immediately someone rushes over and hands him another drink. And he takes a sip and he says, "This isn't cold enough." And he hands it back and they say, "We're so sorry, sir. We apologize, sir." And another drink is brought to him right away. And this one is cold enough. And what was I talking about? Oh, right. Iman Max, they sponsor us. They're great.
Jeff.
What?
I may never forgive you for the image that you just conjured up in my head of Ewan and Callum sitting on the deck of a yacht in Speedos drinking. That just...
I would like to point out that I never said Speedos, so that's all on you.
Yeah, maybe so, but it's still there now, and it's going to be all weekend getting rid of that image.
And now I've got that image in my head, and I don't think I can drink it away. So thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been great having IMN Max as a sponsor. So when IMN Max was sponsoring us, no, seriously, they're great. And if I could easily get my two iPads that need to have new batteries to them, then I would have Callum replacing those batteries for me, because that's who I trust to put their hands inside my gear. And if you need to have anything fixed, take a IMN Max. Also, they do leases. So if you need to lease some Apple gear, they'll take care of you. They sell used stuff. They're awesome. And because you are a BTN fan, you will get a discount there as well. So thank you to IMN Max. And Callum, don't forget to put the sunscreen on. Although I believe in the UK, it's sun cream. I want to make sure you're putting the right stuff on your body so that you don't burn.
There's no sun in the UK.
Oh, right. What was I thinking?
They don't need that.
Yes, classic British countryside, i.e. mud. Yeah. Okay, so to everyone that now has the images that Chuck conjured up, we're going to have to do some reprogramming on the Chuckbot. I'm sure that the Chuckbot apologizes for creating the Speedo image in everyone's mind. Unless you like that image, and then you're welcome. I can't believe Ewan leaves us unattended.
He won't anymore.
Anyhow. Wow. Okay. So before we hop into the cool things, Patrice, since I clearly am incapable of being an adult and actually taking a minute to learn a URL so I can tell people where the chat room is, would you please take care of that for me?
Oh, yeah, of course. If you want to find all the links and the chat and everything we've talked about, you can head over to, just take your browser, head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then navigate to the 14th of May, 2021. And there you will find all the links and everything we talked about, including the upcoming cool things.
Thank you. And I mean, seriously, how can I not have memorized that URL yet? I have no excuse at all.
I don't know. You just like me telling everybody about it.
Seriously, it's great the way you do it. I mean, it's like the most professional part of every single episode. So
I don't think so.
Well,
I don't think so.
nonetheless, it's cool thing time. Patrice, what do you have?
Well, there is a new season of an Apple TV show that just started, I want to say 2 weeks ago. I think today is the third episode. The show is called Mythic Quest, season two. Season one was called, I think, Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet, because that was the fictional video game extension that they were working on. And I've really enjoyed the show so far. Like the first, I'm not into games at all. I usually stay away from gaming movies or shows. Like, it's usually not my thing. But they were really, really good. Like, they did some special episodes during the pandemic, even. Like, there was one episode where it was basically all on Zoom. And I think that was the last episode of the last season. They did like a kind of a special welcome back episode a couple of weeks ago, like a month and a half ago, kind of as a teaser episode for the new season. I can't remember what it was called, but it was really, really, really cool. Like, it was kind of a little, like, kind of a real world game they were playing, like slaying each other in air quotes, and like there was a winner and all of that. It was really good. And I'm really enjoying the new season. Like, it's a really, really interesting mix of characters. Some really awesome women also. It's just a fun thing. And then the gaming part is, it's kind of the background. It serves, like, it plays a role, but it's not something where it's like you have to be into gaming to enjoy this. It's more the surrounding story. The show is about the people and how they create things and how the creative process for them works and interactions and all of that. It's not about the game itself. So, yeah, highly recommended. Apple TV Plus if you don't have it.
Awesome. I still haven't even started season one yet, but I'm chastised on a regular basis by several friends for not having watched Mythic Quest. I'll get to it, I promise.
It's not Ted Lasso, obviously, like from like the level of how awesome it is, but it's a good show. Like, it's a surprisingly good show.
Yeah. Okay. Well, to be fair, Ted Lasso is really in a class all by itself.
Yeah.
Just
it is.
There's Ted Lasso, then there's really good TV shows, and then there's other stuff that's good too, and then there's crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will throw this out without, there are no spoilers here to both them. I think it was Bob Beach in the chat room and to Jeff. You can't just watch the first episode. You need to go, I think it's the third or fourth episode. That's the Nazi episode. That's the one that, by the time when I got to that one, I was hooked. Huh? Because up to that point, it's like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. That one, same. That hooked me. And from then on, I became, yeah, I'm a Mythic Quest fan. And, yeah. And thanks to Ken Ray for that, because Ken got me into it. And I really wasn't sure because I'm not a gamer, but yeah, like Patrice said, you don't have to be a gamer to enjoy it, but you just have to get to that one episode that checks your box and then you're good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The beginning is a bit like, as most shows, it takes a little time to set everything up. Yeah. So highly recommended.
All right. Well, it's on my list. Chuck, what do you have for us?
I have an episode of another podcast. I've recommended Darknet Diaries before on this show. This week's episode, though, it's an interview and discussion of the history of the Pirate Bay. And this was, it's entertaining, it's funny, it's twisted, it explains the Pirate Bay. And the Pirate Bay is one of those stories that didn't seem to hit the mainstream very often. When it did, it was always sort of from a particular viewpoint. The gyrations they went through to keep this site up, and it's still up today. This is just a plain fun episode. And I'm obviously not endorsing piracy of any kind. That's not it. Just the story of this site from earlier days of the internet, even up through now, is both fascinating and totally entertaining. So I can't stress enough, if you don't listen to any other episode of Darknet Diaries, this is one that you will find really, really interesting and fun. And you don't have to be terribly geeky to appreciate it. So go check it out. Patrice, I see you nodding. Have you listened?
Yeah, I've listened to it. I mean, I'm a big fan of Darknet Diaries. I've listened to it. I totally second that. Like, it's a really interesting episode because it explains a little bit the culture behind it and also the people that created it, where they are coming from. I mean, they're not like the FU big business type of people. They're more like the counterculture type of people. They're saying, well, I mean, I would just want free access to things, to information. And there are people out there that can't. I mean, we're coming from a privileged position. We have Spotify, we have Apple Music, we have like a lot of other things that a big chunk of the world has no access whatsoever to. And they're saying, well, we just want to provide a different approach. Like, that's all there is. There's no dark secret, whatever, anything. And it's really well explained, like how kind of relaxed. I mean, it's a very sweet, the people are from Scandinavia, mostly from Sweden. And you can tell that's the cult, to a big extent, the culture there. It's very free thinking. And as I said, it was a really interesting, like, not much technical details, like how it works, because honestly, I don't think it was all that interesting how it works. More the, like, how the story evolved over time. And I think the guy that was interviewed, like, he hasn't even worked at Pirate Bay for close to 10 years. Mm-hmm. He just left at some point. He was like, it was just getting too much work. Like, he had a full-time job and it was just too much work for him. But he still stands behind it.
And we don't want to do any spoilers here, but at the very end, where they kind of come to the conclusions about how and why the Pirate Bay is still out there, is worthy of a novel. Yeah. So that's, I'll just leave it there. Yeah. That's absolutely, that should be enough of a tease to get you there.
Mm-hmm. A novel and at least a couple of movies.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly.
I have to listen.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. I have to check it out. Dave, what do you have?
Well, I have this new stand I found for my webcam here. It's made by a company called InnoGear. It's a webcam stand, and what it does is it allows you to be able to have it on almost like a mic stand. It's got a heavy weighted base, and it's got the arm, and it's got the flexible arm at the top there with the ball thread, and it threads with normal tripods, so it fits with any webcam. I'm using it with an iPhone that I'm using camo with, and the bracket, and it's hanging down, and it's giving me much better view. So I'm looking straight at the camera, so it's right in front of me here, instead of it being off to the side or above, in the where a lot of us put our webcams. And this is a two pack, so you can get two different cameras, because a lot of times some folks might want to do like product demonstrations, and it's nice, as the camera's suspended up, and you can do your thing and do your demos. And thought those these were really cool, and then you get two of them to the pack, and it's only like $30, so it's pretty reasonable, and that was a cool thing.
Awesome. All right, so my cool thing is probably going to cost Chuck $32.99. Yeah, sorry, Chuck. Okay, so my cool thing, it's called the Emart LED Video Light, and it's a two pack of studio lights, and they're like this big. And I would have one here in front of you right now, but they're actually in the other room on my dining room table. What got me to go hunting for these was, I have that Lego space shuttle that I want to live stream building or live stream build. And now I have the new Lego Batmobile from the 1966 TV series. And I went to live stream that. When I did my initial tests to see how everything would look, my lighting at my dining room table where I need to do the builds, I just couldn't get anything that really worked. It was too dark. The color was shifted really weird. It was hard to see what I was doing. So I found these, and they come with their own tripod stands, and they attach with a standard camera, a quarter inch thread. So Chuck, those clamp on little camera stands that you tricked me into buying are going to be great, because I can actually attach these to the table and have them shown across at different angles, get the lighting that I need for the build without having weird shadows, and it's going to be great. So they also come with some little light filters, so you can change the color, and those aren't the greatest because they're so thin, but the light diffusers that they have are great. So I've got these set up for my tests right now on tripods with the light diffuser in, and they're working great. They don't, however, include a USB charger to power them, even though they run off USB. Apparently they used to include that and they don't now, but I have so many good USB chargers sitting around that hasn't been a problem. But these are great. So $32.99 with Amazon Prime. Don't even pay shipping. And I'm very pleased with these.
So yes, you just cost me money, Jeff. Thank you.
You're welcome. But at least I warned you ahead of time that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So there's that. All right. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show, every Friday, every Thursday, also on the Big Show. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, and if you want to buy me a coffee or something, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to interesting people about food and food-related memories. I recorded one really awesome episode with David. If you've never been to Chicago or Chicago area, there's your guide. It's going to take a little while to publish, but yeah, you can look forward to that.
Awesome. All right. I'm looking forward to that episode. All right, Chuck, where can people find you?
Head on over to MacVoices.com. That's where you'll find everything I do. And then we do Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Love to have you join us there. This week, I talked to, I always hesitate to call out any shows just because I feel like they're all worth your time. But this week we had two parts with Joe Kissel about his new book on his new revision to his book about backing up your Mac. And I was shocked at the number of things that have changed. The M1 Macs, Big Sur, so many things have changed about backing up your Mac that you really need to pay attention to it. So it's well worth a listen, MacVoices.com. And on the Twitters, on all social media, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks for costing me money, Jeff.
I've got your back, Chuck. Yeah. Dave, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me here every week, most of the time. And you're also on In Touch with iOS, intouchwithiOSHad.com. We had a great episode yesterday. Jeff, thank you again for filling in real on a last notice. And we also had the tech-savvy lawyer, Michael Eisenberg. So we had quite a good discussion about the Epic versus Apple the battle that's going on right now. So I'm like getting that published today. So I'm going to listen to it. Of course, you find me on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night, as Chuck mentioned. Really enjoyed doing that. And then I'm also on Twitter at DaveD65. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamet, both places. And you can find, actually, I posted a new video on my YouTube channel, which at super short. In under 2 minutes, I show you how to set up your personal pronouns in Instagram and even explain why that might matter to you. So you can find that over at youtube.com/jgamet. So on Tuesdays, I'm on Mac Voices Live with Chuck. Thank you for letting me back on every single week. On Thursdays, it's the Big Show Live. On Fridays, it's the Mac Show Live. And last night, In Touch with iOS, that was actually a really fun episode. And thank you for letting me just keep popping off all of the legal questions that I had.
That's why you brought him on the show. They don't get to have a lawyer on a show very often. So,
yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. And you can find me lots of other places. Oh, on Monday, I was on macOS Ken, and we talked a little bit more about AirTags and why swallowing them might not be the smartest thing to do. Nope. Yeah, so don't. All right. Wow. Thanks to all of you for being such an awesome panel today. As always, this has been just an absolute treat for me. So seriously, thank you very much. And to everyone that's watching live and participating in the chat room, thank you very much. It is so great to have all of you here. I seriously enjoy getting to spend my Friday mornings or your Friday afternoons together This is just so much fun. And for everyone that watches or listens to the recordings later, thank you for being part of this as well. All of you, you absolutely rock. So thank you for being here and have an awesome weekend. And maybe Ewan and Callum will be back next week. We'll see. All right. See you next week. Okay. And we have a show.
So I just want to point out that whatever images I gave you in the earlier discussion of Ewan's yacht pale in comparison to the one that Magic Man put in the chat room. I didn't even want to repeat it on the show because it's just deeply disturbing.
Oh, hold on. Let me scroll back.
I don't even want to read it.
Oh, dude. Oh. Yeah. Oh, come on.
We did not need that, Magic Man.
Oh.
We really didn't.
Oh, yeah. Patrice, don't scroll back.
No.
It's in the transcript forever.
Yeah, it's in the transcript forever.
Oh. Almost a molar wink. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. To be fair, I suppose we kind of brought that on ourselves. And yeah. When I say we, I mean me, because I'm the one that totally jumped off the rails and ran down that path. But Chuck, you were running right behind me.
No question. But I think Magic Man ran right past us both.
Yeah, and he was laughing the whole way.
Yep. Yeah, he's saying, I'm going to win this. And he did. No question.
Yeah. And it just drives home the point that some people just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that was fun, guys. It really was.
It was. Thanks.
Yeah, that was a great way to kick off my Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
And exactly. Hold on. There it is. Oh my God.
Oh.
I got the Lego Batmobile. I am very excited about this one. And check it out. See that little gray thing? That's a turntable. So the Batmobile, you can spin it around, you know, just like in your own Batcave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm easily entertained.
I wanted one of those in my garage. I really did.
Crap. What a great design.
Yeah.
I know a couple of people that have that.
Really, Patrice?
Yeah, it's definitely a thing. Like, it's not just an idea. Like, some people have that for, I don't know for what. So you can drive in and then turn around the car to like drive out. I don't know. It's totally a thing. I don't know what it costs. It's probably stupid expensive, but.
Okay, oh, so sure now you brought it up. Now I got to go and look and see.
Hey guys, I got to drop off. I'm going to meet somebody here. So
weekend. Thanks for being here.
Take care, David.
Yeah,
thank you. See you again. And thanks. I love the shirt.
Thank you. See you later.
Me too.
See ya.
Thanks.
See ya.
Yeah.
Now I want to know where David is going, because he talked about so many interesting, like, I have a massive list of restaurants and places to go in Chicago, so I just want to know where he's going now. I have to ask him.
Yeah, there's one restaurant that I went to, and I think it's actually in Rosewood and not Chicago proper, and it's a Polish restaurant, and I mean, it was amazing. And I was taken there with, I was there for a conference. And so there were a bunch of us that all went. And so we're at this amazing Polish restaurant. We're taken by people who were from Poland. And they're like, this is the restaurant to go to. And it was absolutely stunning. Absolutely loved it, and I can't remember the name of it, but holy crap, it was good. That's where I met the Chicago Mafia.
Well, That is not okay. Hard, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't plan on meeting them. I needed to use the restroom, and to get to it, you had to go through the what was being used that night as a private room for I think it was a wedding party, and it was for the bride was like the daughter of one of the higher level Chicago mafia people. And so I go walking in, and I go walking up, and there's these two guys standing there in their dark suits, and they look like they're as wide as they are tall. I mean, you know, that's that's how strong these guys are, and they just kind of stop me, and they're like, "What do you want?" I said, "I was just trying to find the restroom." And like, "Oh yeah, just go back behind us. It's off to the right." And off I go. And and when I come back out of the restroom, they're like, "You're not from here." I'm like, "Oh no, I'm from Colorado." And both of these guys, their eyes get this big and they light up and they go, "Boulder, hey everyone, this guy's from Boulder." Now, at the time, I wasn't actually living in Boulder. And so this one guy grabs me by the shoulder and pulls me in, you know, like I'm his best friend. Mm-hmm. And he's tall enough that my face is now in his rib cage, pressed up against a gun in a holster under his jacket. He's like, "Ow, ow." And he's just like, you know, shaking me, holding me close. He's like, guys, it's Boulder. Oh, we love Boulder. We had a great time there." And I didn't ask why they went to Boulder. and they're like, "Yeah, next time we're in town, we're going to look you up." And I'm like, "Okay, that's like, great.
Please don't."
"Everyone, it's Boulder." And they just left. So I get back to my table and I'm like, "So this is what happened." And one of the people that had brought us there, she just goes like ashen white. She's like, "You have no idea who you just met, you know," because they introduced me to the bride and her dad and all that. And they tell me that it, you know, it's like this Chicago Godfather guy. And I've never seen the hitmen show up in Boulder. So that's probably for the best.
Mm-hmm. Well, they loved Boulder, so you know
they did, and to them, I am Boulder.
Yeah, you're Boulder.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I just realized the live stream's still going. So good thing there was nothing illegal in that whole thing. But you know, hey, statute of limitations. It was a long time ago, so I'll be fine. All right, I'm going to kill the live stream. Thanks for everyone that's been sticking around.
Yeah, thanks, Chadroom.
Thanks, everybody.
See all of you next week.
This was fun.
So, anyhow.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Chicago Mafia. Mm-hmm. Boulder.
Yeah, sounds about right. I mean, after everything David told me about Chicago, I'm like, yeah, there's probably mafia there because it's very Italian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, this worked out okay?
Yeah, it was great. Now, okay. Your audio yesterday was better, but I think it's because of the venue.
When you said about you could hear the acoustics, it's like, oh shoot, I didn't think about that. This being because I'm up in a loft area that is just wide open.
Oh yeah.
So
that's gonna do it.
Yeah.
But this worked great.
Good. Okay. All right. I honestly, as pathetic as the bandwidth is here, I'm shocked that Zoom held up on the video side as well as it did.
It looked great.
So, good. Well, that's a tribute to Zoom's technology then. Because
Zoom's got it figured out. If your video goes to crap on Zoom, then your connection is really, really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the video goes to crap, the audio still works.
That's true.
Like that's the fun part. Like they prioritize audio. They know what's important.
Right. Yep.
But Patrice, Jeff and I tested this yesterday because I didn't want to have a second camera. this is the MacBook, the M1 camera. And that was the other thing. We've heard so much crap about, you know, Apple not upgrading the cameras, but they were doing it computationally. And so, I mean, I'm looking at my own image. It's like, that's pretty darn good. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I've done Macworld and WWDCs with my MacBook camera and the AirPods. Like it in definitely not ideal environment, because I mean, good luck finding a quiet place in what's the center called? Yeah, whatever. The venue.
In Moscone.
No, it's not Moscone. In San Jose, the the convention center. I said good luck finding a quiet place. I mean,
I want to say McCormick, but that's not right. It's the McHenry convention.
McHenry. Yeah.
No, wait, is that right? Because that's MacStock, isn't it?
Should be able to act that.
Hold on,
because I should be on my
Jose convention center. McHenry.
I think it was correct.
It's McHenry.
Okay.
Yeah, I said. And then last time I discovered on Friday after the Mac show that there was a podcasting studio that Apple had set up that they told nobody about. The year before there was nothing, and I asked them about it, like whether there was any way anywhere I could go, and they said no, they don't have anything. And the year 2019, last one, they had a podcast set up.
Yeah. Okay, Patrice, now I feel kind of bad about that, because I knew about the podcasting center. I could have told you about it.
I didn't. I mean, I probably walked past it 10 times and just didn't pay attention to it. So I should have known. I said, next time I know.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Next time.
I'm going to head out. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have an awesome weekend, both of you. And
you too.
And I'll let you know in just a few minutes if I need your recordings.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay. All right. Be safe. See you.
All right. You too.
See ya.
Take care. Bye.